Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. It's good to have you all join us today. So before we start, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you that we are your church, your people, that you have blessed us. And we pray that we will desire to know you, God, so that we may understand what this blessing is all about, that we can experience the fullness of this blessing. We can enjoy the work of Christ, your love within our hearts. So, Lord, as we hear your word, we pray that it will change the course of our life. It will open our eyes to better things. It will strengthen our hearts with hope. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through Ephesians chapter 1, and we've been looking at the spiritual blessings that Paul is talking about. And what happens is, after he has listed down the whole spiritual blessing, and he says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit of the blessing. And that's the first payment of the things that to come. And then he begins to pray for the church in Ephesus. So this is his prayer. So this will be our text for today. It's taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Okay. So for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his holy body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So we've been looking at all the spiritual blessings, and that's a very important thing we should look at, a place we should begin with. In fact, we understand that in our own experiences with God, we always walk away with a blessing. We always sense the goodness of God. We have always received the assurance, the encouragement, the strength, the healing, and how the list goes on. So God is a God who works through our lives, who walks with us. And so Paul is getting the church to be acquainted with the spiritual blessing. Okay. So let's start off this way. Okay. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So, of course, as you follow the text, for this reason, what he's saying is the reason is the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And so the thing is that, you know, when he heard that the people have put their faith in Jesus Christ, he knows, you know, that they have inherited all these blessings. And he has seen the first fruit of these blessings in their life. So he has heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of God for all, and God's love, you know, their love for all God's people. And we have to understand that Paul is addressing a church that is facing persecution. They're having a difficult time, but in the midst of it, their faith remains strong and their love for others remains strong. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So we do see that in the scriptures, there is a very strong connection between faith and love. And as you've gone through the text, even if you go through John 15 about the vine and branches, and you find that everything Jesus speaks about having faith in him leads us to discovering love in him and loving others. The expression of the covenant or the new commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. So this is the, what you may say, the fruit, okay, the result of us walking into this spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. And this makes perfect sense because you can understand that the whole movement of the spiritual blessing comes because God loves us. As scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So when the blesser is a person who loves, who cares, and when he does everything out of love, when we receive the blessing, you know, we start to move out with that very same love. Okay. And you find in the scripture that the manifestation of every spiritual blessings in the life of the believer is in these three areas. It's in faith, you know, that they grow in faith and love and hope. And of course, you know, if you want to distinguish between faith and hope, faith is focused on the person of Jesus Christ, on who he is and how he reveals God, and that salvation comes through his name. Okay, and then through him, we put our faith in the work of the Trinity in our lives. Okay, and that's how faith is. But hope is of, you know, that we believe that our faith will be rewarded at the end of all things. We will be with God, receiving in fullness every inheritance that we have in Christ. Okay. So what's happening here is there is faith, there is love, but you will see Paul pray for hope for this church because this is what's happening. You know, what the devil tries to do is he tries to remove hope from our lives. He tries to persecute us, distract us, discourage us, and tells us, you know, there is no hope to what you believe. All this is in vain. Look at your life. There's nothing good coming out of it. And there's only challenges. And when even those persecutors, you know, when you think about how they persecuted Jesus and how they continue to persecute people, they want to show you that you have no hope. They have the power. They can do with you as they please. You are beneath their control, okay? And if there's anything as like a thing that crushes hope, is the cross. Okay, you know, when the disciples saw Jesus hanging on a cross, that is the thing that would have crushed every sense of hope that, you know, this good person, this Messiah whom they believe would continue with them, that he would provide salvation, that he was the way. Okay, so that image, that picture would really crush the hope of people. And you can see how the disciples felt totally destroyed. So here Paul is speaking hope into the lives of the church in Ephesus. Okay, the Ephesian church. So Paul is seeing things through the eyes of the Spirit. And therefore he knows God is at work with the people. And he is very hopeful because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so God has done a great thing. Okay, and Paul breaks forth in thanksgiving. So you find that the language, okay, he first says praise God. You know, it's he's praising God for every spiritual blessing. Then he's praising God. He's grateful out of gratefulness for what he has done for this particular community. Okay, and then he begins to pray for them. So what's interesting here is that as much as God has given the spiritual blessing, you know, we are in partnership with God to pray these blessings into the lives of people and into our own lives. We are invited to seek, to ask, to knock, to wait upon God, to be filled, to be strengthened, to receive from God. So this is the thing that God invites us to do, to come before him, simply because he wants that relationship and he wants us to know him above all things. And therefore, prayer is a necessary thing. And Paul prays continually for these things to take shape in their hearts. Okay. So he sees the potential, and he knows that the key thing that he must do is to pray, you know, that these things will take place. And that is the same thing for us. You know, we should see the potential and we should start praying. Okay. And the prayer starts from a place of gratefulness because we have that potential. We have received that door has been opened for us. All right. And we begin to discern the areas that need intercession for spiritual growth. And that's the same thing. When you see certain places that you lack, when you don't have, you know, the Lord invites you to pray for those things, to pray for growth and to come before Him to work out these things. All right. So I put at the side on the screen, you know, the many blessings that God has given. And it's through intercession that we grow and understand these many blessings that we have in the Lord and how these blessings shape and change the way we are. Okay. And then he goes on to say this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And of course, I put these questions up: in which field of knowledge do we desire to which field of knowledge do we desire to possess wisdom and revelation? Okay, will knowing God better help us? And you find that in this world, there is this constant pursuit of wisdom, of revelation, of knowing things, of understanding things. And we believe, you know, that if we know these things and we understand these things, we can function much better and we can have a blessed life. And yes, to a point, there is truth in those statements. You know, if you have good knowledge of your work, you will work better. But we know that there are things that those knowledge cannot give us, and that knowledge without God can be a force that corrupts us, all right? Because, you know, we can't handle the power that comes with such knowledge. But what's interesting is that the only person the only knowledge that helps us in the most meaningful way is to know God, okay, to know Him better. So and Paul says, in order for us to understand the blessings, we must know the blesser. In order to make sense of how these blessings come to play in our lives, we must know God. We must be acquainted with His presence. We must have an intimate knowledge with Him. So what's is said here, and this is very important when you study the Bible. One of the amazing things about God, he's a God who reveals Himself, and therefore He's a personal God. He speaks, He's about Himself. He tells us what He likes, He dislikes, who He is, His plans for us, you know, the way He does things. And there's a certain level of disclosure, a level that where we can handle, and all that He shows us is true of Himself. Of course, we cannot know everything about God, but God will disclose what is necessary for us to thrive and become more like Jesus Christ. So He's a God that reveals Himself. He's not like an idol, and He's not like some other religion, you know, where you just have to do things in order to earn things. Here it's much more of knowing Him, which leads to action. It is intimacy that leads to us speaking and thinking and living like Jesus Christ. So God speaks, God acts, and God communes with each one of us. You know, He is a living God. And therefore, in John chapter 15, verses 13 to 15, you find that, you know, Jesus is the complete revelation of who God is, the perfect revelation of who God is. All right. And he was among His disciples, and He was talking to them in a very intimate fashion. And He speaks about His love for them, that He would lay down His life for them. And so He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So it's that intimacy, okay? You know, and Jesus has this intimate knowledge of God, and that constant commune. He constantly communes with God, and He reveals God to us. And that's the pattern we must follow. So for us to grapple and celebrate and enjoy the spiritual blessings, The only way to do it is to know God intimately. So these are there are a few things that I want you to think about. It's the first statement, you know, much of our weakness, fears, and challenges diminishes when we grow in the knowledge of God. And that's a truth, okay? You find that if you read in every biblical character's life, whether it would be Moses, and you would see, you know, the many people who came to Christ, the more they knew him, the more they see things in a different light, and it stirred their faith and stirred their sense of hope, and it brought love in their heart, and that changed them, okay? As the scripture says, you know, perfect love drives away all fear. So when they got to know the love of God, then they became much more bolder. When they saw the goodness of God, they became much more convicted and ready to do the things of God. And so sometimes, you know, we tend to get stuck. We think that we have to deal, you know, with a specific thing by just trying to get rid of it, you know, by saying, oh, I should be less fearful, I should be more brave, I should be more kind, and so forth. Okay, and if you just say it that way and you try doing it, you know, switching on kindness or switching on courage, it's not going to work. Okay, so you know, these are things of the Spirit that comes from God. And how these things come into your life is through the knowledge of God. As the scripture tells, you know, when you spend time with God, you know, when the disciples spend time with Jesus, it changes them. Okay, it turns them, you know, into people who are kind, who are courageous, because in the presence of God, they see a better picture. They understand their fears better. They put things into proper context. They understand the place of God in their life. Okay. And all this starts to change the way they do things. All right. So the same thing in many years of service, you know, in the initial part, you just want everything to be worked out, a neat little package, all handled, all fixed and simple and clear for you to follow. But as you do ministry, you know, it doesn't work that way. And therefore, the only things that keeps you hopeful and keeps you moving forward is the knowledge of God. You know that even there's a mess, there's a challenge, you know, even though there's a difficulty, even though you're struggling, God can help you. God can guide you. God can strengthen you. Okay, so that's why Paul puts it this way. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And what Paul is speaking about is that I know who I'm doing this for, and I know all this work and this calling, my life that I've entrusted into his hands for his glory. I know the rewards will be great. I know where my future lies. I know that he will bring completion to all of it on that day. Okay. So that is the thing. And therefore, you know, we've been looking at spiritual formation, and that's the whole point of spiritual formation, okay, is to be like that tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruits in season and whose leaf does not wither, you know, whatever they do. So that picture is always in the Bible. The seasons will come, the strong winds will come, the dry winds will come. But those who plant themselves by the river, okay, those who meditate on the word of God, who knows God, okay, they will not change. They will not suffer the consequences of these challenges. Rather, they will still flourish, okay? They will still bear fruit. You know, the leaves will remain green because they are planted by streams of water. And that's what I want you to think about, church. You know, perhaps, you know, your many years of struggle needs to be addressed by just building that altar where you are in the presence of God to know him more intimately. I think Christians are very prone to become religious, and they make this whole business with God very transactional. So they think, if I pray, then God will answer. And then if I do ministry, then God will bless me. And if I work these things out, you know, God will do those things. So it's very transactional rather than just being and praying so that you just want to enjoy the presence of God and know him and worship him and just wait, you know, for the Spirit to just reveal the glory and goodness of God through his word. So for Christians, over the years, I've talked to many Christians. They would rather do ministries, you know, read tons of books, acquire so much knowledge, and put their effort there, and then neglect their prayer life entirely. So they say, you know, acquiring this knowledge and doing this and doing that, and even though it's Christian, you know, and if you do all those things as a ritual, you know, as trying to gain power and knowledge without really submitting yourself in the presence of God, waiting on Him, that's not going to work. That's like putting the cart before the horse, that it's all about you and it's not about God. It's totally missing the point, because the whole exercise of learning should actually bring you to your knees in the presence of God. You know, when you know that God is God and Jesus is Lord, then the natural thing to happen is to be blessed, you know, by His goodness, you know, and to come before Him, challenged to give yourself, to surrender and to praise Him and to seek His goodness in the lives of those around you. Okay. And therefore, I say, you know, if I know the Lord who loves me, who saves me, who calls me, who guides me, who empowers me, heals me, comforts me, challenges me, walks with me, rewards me, and He does it for others and He does it for the world. And that's the nature of the spiritual blessing. And if we don't know Him, we cannot put this, you know, fill the gaps, you know, fill the substance of these blessings. Okay, they are just words to us. They are just concepts in our mind that has never sinked into the heart, that we never experience fully in our lives. So I would encourage all of you, pay very careful attention to your spiritual development. Don't become ritualistic. Don't limit it to mind knowledge, which is not changing you. Don't go and put all your energies in your ministries and keep doing things without really fixing your time with God and enjoying His presence in your life. Okay, that is going to be really detrimental to your spirit, and you're going to find yourself, you know, in a place where you face the same challenges and the same weaknesses again and again. Okay, but as you know Him, He brings light into those places. He brings healing. You know what He's saying in those areas. You know what He's doing. You know what He's healing, what He's removing, what He's planting, and all those things start to make sense to you. And you learn how to overcome and let go and develop a spiritual perspective of life, of challenges, as Paul has done so. Okay. Then he continues to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. Okay, and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Okay, so what's something very interesting happening in our world today is people are losing hope. Christians are losing hope. Okay, and the world has become kind of a toxic environment. And if you are looking at media, you realize that much of it creates this toxic environment. Okay, so and for some people, they can't handle social media because they find themselves comparing with their lives with other people's lives. They can't handle media because much of the news that sells is negative news. You know, if anyone prints good news, it hardly flies. But if you keep printing all this, you know, what this person is doing and how bad that person is and everything and so forth, and that's what's filling our minds as we look around the world, and then we see all the challenges around us, and we see our own struggles and all this compounded, you know, with interest puts us in a place where hope is removed from our hearts. Okay, and you have to keep in mind, this is Satan's work. He knows where to get us. You know, he wants to tell us that, look at your life, at the end of it, there's nothing here for you. All right? And the sad thing is, you know, many Christians don't have a vision of the kingdom to come. they don't see what is described here, that at the end of things, times, everything will be placed under the feet of Christ. And that is the spiritual blessing. Okay, we see that all is reconciled in Jesus Christ. And we are part of that kingdom under his good rule, you know, and we are rewarded with eternal life, that we will enjoy the blessings of being children of God throughout eternity, favored in the presence of God. All right. And so it's that vision Satan robs from us. He just wants us to be so caught up with the here and the now and the things that are happening around us, you know, that he robs hope. And when hope is stripped from our hearts, it's very hard to actually go and pray. It's very hard to spend time with God, because somewhere behind us, there is that nagging thought or belief, you know, that even if I try, I'm not going to change. You know, even if I do this, nothing is going to happen. You know, it's going to be the same. All right. We don't see that good ending, that happy and powerful and good vision that God gives us in Jesus Christ. All right. So Paul now prays, you know, as much as the church is growing in faith and in love, and he prays that hope, you know, that they may be enlightened in order that they may know hope. Okay. You know, and the knowledge of God, his activity, what he's doing and what he has done through Jesus Christ, stirs hope within us. Okay, and that hope is knowing the inheritance we have in Jesus. Now, if you have Jesus, you have life, okay, eternal life, abundant life, okay. You are in the presence of the Father, you are his children, you know, and as much as you see Christ, you know, you are in him, okay, and because you are in him, every blessing that the Father gives the Son, you know, comes to you, okay. And therefore, what Christ has done, he has shifted the heavenlies, okay? He has turned around the powers, and every power that tells you that you have no hope is a liar, okay? Because Jesus Christ has defeated death, has defeated the enemy, has cast away, you know, death and sin and its power over us, and has given us eternal life, okay? So the enemy has to try to still get you to believe that he has you in his grips and life is going nowhere. And this we must resist, and we must understand the kind of power that is at work in this world, okay, that is shifting everything and moving it towards the place God wants it to be, okay. And I tell you, you know, to see that, you need spiritual insight, okay. You need that wisdom. You need to see God, and you need to understand and be enlightened to see how, you know, the resurrection of Christ has changed everything, okay? So this is the gospel. And you find Paul comes back to this. And what he tells us is, this is what happens. This is what stirs hope in our life, okay? And you find in Philippians chapter 2, you know, and there's this favorite passage, you know, where Paul would speak how Christ went down. Okay, he was equal with God, but he did not consider it something to be held. You know, he stripped himself of that, and he took on flesh, and he became a servant, and he was obedient until death. He was crucified, and he died, and he was buried. So Paul's saying, you know, if you must be enlightened so that you can understand, you have hope, because this is how the power of God's work. Okay, the life that is given to God, okay, that perfect life, you know, even though the world tried to shut it down and it was crucified and the world thought it overpowered it, but we understand why Jesus had to die for our sins, because he took our place. But what happened on the third day? As Paul says, God's power exerted in Jesus. So, you know, Jesus was the lowest place, okay? You know, he died, he's buried, and God's power was exerted in him and moved him from that place, you know, where he was cursed and died in our sins and so forth, to the highest place, okay, above all authority, all heaven, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, you know, not only at the time Paul wrote, but also in our time and in the time to come. And finally, every power will fall, will pass away, and the kingdom of God will remain. Okay. And then he says the first people who are experiencing, you know, this shift, you know, this new work, this new creation is the church. We have been placed under him, and his power and his glory fills every aspect of the church. Okay, which you say, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So it goes back to the gospel. It goes back to what Christ has achieved for us. And that's what brings hope in our lives. So church, I do want to encourage you, think about this. You know, do the things that will restore hope. Pray for it. Know God with all your heart so that you may flourish in him. I think the best way to end this is a song of hope, which is Psalm 23. Okay, and we are very familiar with the psalm, and the psalm captures everything that, you know, in the Old Testament about the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Okay, so he nourishes us, he cares for us, he brings peace in our soul. He's a shepherd that guides us in difficult times. And as we go into a time of prayer, I just want you to spend some moments just praying this psalm. Okay, and if you have lost hope, and if you are drying up, and if you feel distant from God, you have to understand, you know, whether you have done anything right or wrong, God is God, and he is your shepherd. Okay, and because he is your shepherd, you lack nothing. And he will guide you to green pastures. He will lead you to quiet waters. He will restore and refresh your soul. Okay. For his name's sake. All right. And even though you walk into the most difficult situations and even death itself, he will be there to guide you through. Okay. And the final picture is walking into the tent of God, enjoying the goodness of God, being anointed, favored, having his goodness and love, you know, follow you all the days of your life, which leads you to dwelling in his house. So let's pray this. Spend some time praying and meditating on this and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Then I'll pray. And after that, I'll pass this time to Andrew, who will continue to lead us in prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you that you are so good, that you are a God who loves us unconditionally, a God who gives so freely. We have received grace and truth and favor from you. And you have always come to us, dear God, reminding us that you are our shepherd and that you will guide us and lead us. Dear Lord, as we have spoken on the topic of the anointing, the Holy Spirit, let us bear in mind that all this is about knowing you, dear God. It is not about grabbing a blessing. It is about having access to you, to know you, to see you. It is having spiritual eyes that enables us to perceive you when once we could not because of our sins. Dear Lord, let us understand it's all about receiving from you, Lord. It's being in your house. It is being in your presence. It's being led by you. It's you. It's you. It's always you, Lord. And if we don't know you, then none of these prayers will make any sense to us, dear God. So, Lord, please help us, Lord, to know you. Let the knowledge of who you are as revealed to us through scriptures in the life of Christ shape our thoughts, our hearts. Let the knowledge not just sit in our minds, but let it shape our hearts and the way we perceive life. Let it be a knowledge we have truly experienced, love we have felt and received, a forgiveness that has healed us and set us free, a kindness, a fatherly word, perhaps a chastisement given to us out of care, out of fatherly love. Let us truly know you, dear God, as your children. It would be sad, Lord, as we see in the world, if a child does not know their parents, how much they speak about the relationship, It will not matter. But the rejection and the lack of knowledge will sting the heart in such a way that it will bring pain and rejection and anger and frustration. My dear Lord, you are a good father. You want your children to know you. You've sent your son to show us what it means to be your children. And through his blood, you have made a way for us to know you. Let us know you, dear God. Let us know you. And dear Lord, I pray for the restoration of hope, dear Lord. Dear God, let us be mindful that Jesus Christ was crucified, and he died, and he rose again victoriously. And he is now above all powers, government, and authorities. And we are part of your heavenly kingdom. Dear Lord, let us acknowledge what you have done. And let us plant ourselves in your presence, be acquainted with spiritual things, so that the much needed hope that must fill our hearts in such a time will be restored to us, dear God, that we will believe, that we will rise with hope, that we will know that nothing we do here is in vain, that all this is going to end in the most beautiful way. And even the many things that is beyond our control, may it be people who we are close to, or a health problem, or a challenge at work, whatever it is, Lord, let hope fill our hearts that you are going to see us through, Lord. And at the end, your beautiful work of restoring all things will not be removed from our lives, dear God, will not be taken away from this world. So, Lord, as we are there, allowing hope to fill our hearts, let also faith and love remain, and let your love be expressed in our lives, that we know we are loved, and that we are filled with love and those for us, those around us. We thank you, dear Lord. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Father, we praise you. We want to thank you. We want to thank you, God, for speaking to us, especially throughout the camp, and for the many words that you spoke over the church, Lord, about growth, about reaching out to the community, about doing all these things that you've called us to do. Dear Lord, as we work these things out, let us be mindful, Lord, that in such a broken world, we bring the good news, Lord. We bring a message of hope, of life. And stir that, Lord, within our hearts. Let us see it, Lord. We have the answer in you. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Preach good news, Lord, to bring sight to the blind, to declare freedom for the captives, for healing for the broken, dear God. So, Lord, we pray that we will be determined to pray, to declare, to live out this hope, to pray for these things, Lord, in the lives of those around us. To act, Lord, on the hope that we have. We thank you, Lord, Father. We thank you for gathering us again in your presence. We pray that you bless every person here, strengthen them, keep them in your love, in your grace, Lord, throughout this week. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.